Certainly, I wish all of you a most blessed Easter. The epistle for the Vigil Mass of the Resurrection is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then shall you appear with him in glory. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew, chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the woman, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen, and behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have foretold it to you." And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, just a few words on this beautiful ceremony that we've just witnessed, this beautiful feast which you are celebrating, the feast of the resurrection of our Lord. Our Lord once said during his public life, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." Of course, our Lord spoke these words to the Pharisees. He spoke of the temple of his body. Even in the midst of the persecutions the Pharisees offered our Lord, he was still reaching out to them, trying to convert them, trying to bring them to the truth. Of course, this feast of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, is the fulfillment of these words. The temple of our Lord's body is risen again. Of course, during this Lenten season, Holy Mother Church has called us to a conversion, to a new life. And the ceremonies of this Paschal Vigil and Easter itself represent a certain passing, from darkness to light. The Paschal fire illumines the darkness. The light of Christ enters a darkened church. As we light the Paschal candle, we say, "Christ rises resplendent. May his light dispel from heart and mind the evil darkness." We have passed from the darkness of sin, the darkness of error, to the light of truth, the light of grace. It represents a passing from death to life. The Paschal candle itself represents Christ to us, the risen Christ. And so throughout this season, this Paschal season, all the way up to the feast of the Ascension of our Lord, we will have this candle lit for Mass to represent that our Lord has risen from the dead. That he has called us from the death of sin to the life of grace. And finally, these ceremonies represent a passing from sin to grace. When we renewed our baptismal promises, we reminded ourselves just what we promised through our godparents at our baptism, that we would renounce Satan and all of his pomps and all of his works. We would have nothing to do with Satan, with sin. And thus, this evening, when we renew our promises, we are reminding ourselves that we have been called to a life of grace, that we are to adhere to the author of grace. And so this feast of the resurrection is a beautiful reminder that we are to share in the resurrection of Christ. As St. Paul says, our Lord is the firstborn of many. His resurrection is the surest proof of our own resurrection. And therefore, we are called from the darkness of sin, the darkness of the world, to be children of light. If we are going to share in this feast of the resurrection, the glory of the resurrection, that must mean we must live a noble life, a life of sacrifice, a life of holiness. That we must follow the new Adam in having overcome the old Adam, that we must continually direct our lives to the things of God. And that's why light dominates this ceremony, the fire, the candle, even the exultet, the great victory song of the church, reminds us that we were once old men, like the old Adam, but we have been called from this life to a new life, and therefore we must carry ourselves accordingly. We are not like the rest of men. We should not act like the rest of men. We are better than what the world has to offer, not in and of ourselves, because we are sinners, but by the grace of God, we have been transformed. We have been called to this light. We share in this resurrection by dying to self. Through our Lenten practices, through our compunction of heart, we have changed. We have put aside our selfish interests. We have truly converted. As the priest reminds us in the ceremony of the baptismal promises at the very beginning, he tells us, "For we know that the old self has been crucified with Christ, that we may no longer be slaves to sin." We must, in leaving behind the old man, we must truly die to self, so that we might resurrect to a new life. And therefore, please God, our Lent has found us casting off our sinful habits, ridding ourselves of our occasions of sin, making the final choice once and for all to serve Christ and to do whatever it takes to please him. And then finally, this share in the resurrection means that we live the life of grace. We're reminded of our Lord's miracles. Most often when our Lord cured someone of some great physical evil, he would very gently, very lovingly remind them that the greatest evil of all is sin. And so as he sent them away after a great cure, he would always address them by saying, "Go and sin no more." That must be, in a sense, our motto, our desire, to sin no more, to live this life of grace, to take seriously our baptismal promises, to be a living member of the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ, to complete the whole Christ, to truly live the life of Christ so that he is truly our head, we are his members, and that we are so joined to Christ that we live the life of Christ so that we might gain the glory of Christ in heaven. A life lived in union with Christ through faith, through grace, is what will lead us to eternal life. The epistle tells us, if you have risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. From here on out, let that be our goal. Let that be our main occupation, to seek the things that are above. We have risen with Christ. We are living a new life. We have been transformed in Christ. And therefore, let us live the life of Christ. And so, my dear faithful, as we celebrate this glorious feast of Easter, the greatest feast in the church year, in the calendar year, the liturgical year, let us remind ourselves that Easter is the culmination of our life, that we have risen to a new life in Christ, that we are to rejoice in Christ, to rejoice in this new life, and to never look back. The old man has been crucified, has died, and has been buried. It is the new man, a new man of grace, of virtue, of charity that has arisen. Let us live this life of the new man. Let us complete the whole Christ so that we might seek the things that are above, so that we might gain eternal life, so that we might truly live the life of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.